Tonight I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8 in just a moment. George Bernard Shaw, the winner of the 1925 Nobel Prize for Literature, played the what-if game before he died. It's accounted that a reporter asked him if he could live his life over and be any person he has known or any other person in history, who would it be? Mr. Shaw replied, "I would be the man George Bernard Shaw could have been, but never was." One of the tragedies of war, really of any war, is the tragedy of lost potential. Cure for cancer may have been in the mind of one who was lost to war. The cure for heart disease, the world's greatest leader, may have been a tragedy of war. God's greatest modern day evangelist may have been lost to a tragedy of war. The Bible speaks of a man who experienced firsthand the tragedy of lost potential. And it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We begin reading in verse number 1. "Then the Lord sent Nathanael to David, and he came to him and said, 'There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or of his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion.' Nathan then said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these.'" It's common to hear such statements as, "What could have been different? What might have been? It could have been so different for us. Things would have played out much different than they have." It's a tragic thing to hear statements of, "What if I'd have done this?" Or, "What if I had not done this? I regret doing those things. I regret leaving undone these other things. I wish things could have been different in my life. If only I had done things differently." Some are so burdened in mind as to say, "I wish I had never been born." But note that these statements are not limited to the closing moments of life. If only, is a sad principle in life in general. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 8, Nathan delivered God's message to David, wherein God said, "And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these." Reading from the New American Standard Bible. In essence, God was telling David that if all the blessings that he had given to him was not sufficient for him, he would have gladly given him much more. David's sinful acts, coveting, adultery, murder, displeased God. Yes, it even hurt God to His very heart. And now God tells David through Nathan that if only you had done things right, if only you had honored me, things could have and would have turned out different. And in fact, would have turned out better. God knows how to pull at our heart strings. We may go around thinking that our sins are hidden, but it is open to the eyes of the Holy One, the God of the universe, who sees all things. Numbers 32 and verse 23, he says, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Here is the point of emphasis for the evening. Because of sin, we are asking to experience the tragedy of lost potential. Let me say it again. Because of sin that we choose to take part in, we are asking to experience the tragedy of lost potential. This evening I want to share with you and set forth three obvious biblical principles from our study of 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 1 through 8. Number one is that sin causes you not to experience the fullness of God's blessings. Number two, sin causes you to experience the loss of blessings already given. And number three, sin causes you to experience judgment in light of God's blessings. Let's look at number one. Sin causes you not to experience the fullness of God's blessings. What was it that Nathan told David there in verse 8? "And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these." God is liberal in His giving of gifts to His children, is He not? Yet when all is said and done, God still has more blessings, more gifts that He wants to give to His children. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him?" James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." When God has given much, He stands ready to give even more. But sin can cause us not to experience the fullness of God's blessings. For we miss the fullness of His blessings because of the disruptive nature of sin in our lives. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Our covetous hearts display ungratefulness to God for the blessings He has given to us. Listen to verse 8, 2 Samuel 12. He said, "I also gave you your master's house." That's a blessing. "I gave you your master's wives into your care." Another blessing. "I gave you the house of Israel and Judah." Two more blessings. "And if that had not been enough, if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these." God wanted to bless David. God desired to bless David. Was David displaying discontent with the blessings of God, the blessings that God had already given to him? Sin, in the second case, causes us to experience the loss of blessings already given. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 11 says, "Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against you from your household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight." God would take away some of that which David had been permitted to have, specifically his wives, also the peace within his family. It is untold the number of blessings that are lost because God's people desire to go against God by choosing to sin. It doesn't just mean a loss of potential blessings, but it can mean a loss of existing blessings. It doesn't have to be a big sin. It doesn't have to be a public sin like David's. It may be a private sin that cost us blessings that we already have. All sin requires that we put ourselves before God to answer for them. Psalm 51 and verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." David was going to miss out on some blessings that he was already allowed to enjoy because of his sin with Bathsheba. Yes, sin causes us not to experience the fullness of God's blessings. Sin causes us to experience the loss of blessings already given. And sin causes us to experience judgment in light of God's blessings. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Concerning David, we understand that David was still king. He still had the promise of his lineage continuing on the throne. But his family would not know peace any longer. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 10. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." His family would experience trouble and turmoil from within because of the sins of David. Amnon raped Tamar, both David's children. Absalom murdered Amnon, his half-brother. Absalom attempted to take the throne of his father, David. Absalom was killed while fighting against his father's soldiers. The turmoil, the trouble that came to this family because of David's sin. Notice what sin can do in the lives of God's people. Sin separates people from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy or so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Has sin separated us from God? Sin interrupts the flow of blessings that God bestows upon His people ordinarily. The sins of God's people cause them to be exposed, as we looked at Numbers 32 and verse 23. "Be sure your sins will find you out." The one who sins will reap the evil that is sown. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Sin will leave mankind needing to repent and be restored. Simon the sorcerer, when in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verse 22 through 24, has that discussion with Peter. And Peter said, "Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Sin in the life of Simon was cutting off his access to the blessings, the potential blessings, and the blessings already enjoyed. It was cutting off that relationship with God. Like David's family, many families are in turmoil today because of sin within its members. 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 teach us that like David, because of sin, we may never experience the fullness of God's blessings. We may find ourselves asking, what if? And saying, if only. But thankfully, the Bible teaches us that things can be different for us. Looking in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, beginning in verse number 1. David wrote, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice. Otherwise, I would give it. You do not pleasure with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do we understand what sin has done in our lives? Do we understand what God plans for us to have? What God desires for us to enjoy? The blessings that He wants to give us, the blessings which we have already been allowed to enjoy, and yet there is still far more awaiting us. As Jeff often puts it, the best is yet to be. The best is yet to come. The blessings that God has in store for us, the best of those blessings are yet to come. Yet we may still be missing out on blessings in this life because of sin. Jesus died on the cross so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Our sins can be cleansed by His blood when we respond in trusting obedience, believing and trusting in Him. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. Turning from our sin in repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Confessing Him before men, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and being baptized, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, there are many and numerous blessings that you're missing out on that we would beg with you and plead with you and encourage you to give your life to Christ that you might enjoy those blessings. Live not another moment without Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. For the child of God who has allowed Satan to affect the heart's reception, humble yourself before God. James 4 and verse 10. Repent of those sins that have separated you once again from God. Acts 17 and verse 30. Confess your faults, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Pray for the forgiveness that is needed, Acts 8 and verse 22, so that you can return to your first love, Revelation 2 and verse 4. One of the blessings that we as children of God have as we continue to walk in the light is that Jesus will continue to cleanse us by His blood, 1 John 1 and verse 7. You're a child of God, but you've allowed sin to separate you from God and from His blessings. Tonight's the opportunity for you to come home. What a tragedy it would be to miss out on the fullness of God's blessings or to lose out on blessings already given. What a tragedy it would be to experience judgment in light of God's blessings. Therefore, tonight we beg, we plead with you, we persuade you to respond to the Lord's invitation, to experience His blessings showered upon you, and be free from sin. Tonight we stand as Paul, who once said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We know when we sit down and truly consider the blessings of life, the blessings of the Christian life, we know what is there, what is possible. And therefore, we persuade you. We persuade you to become a Christian. We persuade you, if you've fallen away, to make things right. We persuade you to consider these things. We persuade you to study God's Word so that you might not miss out on those blessings. He's waiting with open arms tonight. Will it be you who responds as we stand and as we sing?